Hey everyone, this is Casual Fanatic.
Film reviews without the shoes.
I'm Luca, your casual viewer.
And I'm Cayman, your fanatic. How's it going?
It's going, man. It's going. How are you doing today?
Doing pretty good. Sorry.
It's one of those days.
Yeah.
Do you have any plans?
This.
Nice. Yeah, I guess on my part, I'm going to go play some volleyball with like a smaller group of people at a different park. So that'll be fun. I've never been there before.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I just had brunch with a best friend of mine, Cameron. He's up here. He was here since Thursday, and he's going up to a different part of Colorado, like an hour and a half-ish away.
All right.
For an opera that he's in.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I was saying basically goodbye to him because he'll be up there doing that thing. And yeah, now I'm here ready to roll.
What'd you guys have for brunch?
We had a place called Syrup.
Okay.
I got what was on the menu listed as Monster Burrito. And it was a total letdown. So,
oh,
yeah, like you'd think when you read Monster Burrito with all the stuff in it, it's going to be big, right? But no, it was like a regular burrito size. And I was like, okay, cool.
That's really sad.
Yeah.
Was it at least like cooked well?
I mean, yeah, I think I got the plate a little later. Maybe they were waiting for his stuff to finish. Like they had nacho cheese on like that. The topping was like a part of nacho cheese.
Yeah.
And you know, like when nacho cheese cools down a bit, like top layer gets a little hard.
Yeah.
I had that.
Dang.
But it was all right. You know, I've gotten to the point where I expect the food that I buy not to be up to my standards of food amount and taste.
You're just a hungry boy.
I am, man. I am. If they call that a monster burrito, I wanted to see what a real regular burrito looked like. Geez Louise.
All right.
But besides, yeah, all right. Yes.
Then today we are going to be talking about the 1991 movie Hook. This was actually a suggestion from one of our fans, Nicole, who asked us to do this movie for her birthday.
Very nice.
Happy birthday, Nicole. By the time this episode comes out, your birthday will have passed, but
I hope you had a good birthday though. A late gift, you know?
Yeah. It's the thought that counts.
True.
So Hook was directed by Steven Spielberg. Written by J.M. Barrie, James V. Hart, and Nick Castle, stars Dustin Hoffman, Robin Williams, and Julia Roberts, as well as plenty of other famous people in roles that, like, you wouldn't expect them in. But we'll get to that later.
Yeah, yeah.
This had an estimated budget of $70 million.
What? Really? Okay.
And it has made $300 million, almost $301 million. So
wow, that's a good turnaround.
Yeah, I think when the movie came out, it like I feel like I had something to say here, but I forgot now. My thought completely disappeared. So anyway, what did you think about Hook?
I thought it was decent. I wouldn't say it was, you know, a favorite movie of mine. I guess when watching this, you have to compare it to the other Peter Pans, right?
I mean, you don't have to, but I suppose that's like a reasonable thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. No, I thought it was, it wasn't like my go-to movie, but I think for the time that it was made in, I could see me as a kid absolutely loving it. And I've watched this as a kid once and I remember loving it, but now me watching it as an adult, and with the time change, I obviously have like other opinions about it.
Yeah.
But still a fun watch. What about you?
I really like this movie. I think there are some things that I don't like as much as I used to, but overall I'd say it's still a really good movie. There's a lot of good performances, and it's still feels creative, because like a lot of other, I mean, they just released a new Peter Pan movie on Netflix recently, I'm pretty sure, but most most Peter Pan movies are very like typical Peter Pan story, and this one kind of takes a different sort of angle at it, and I appreciate that.
Okay, okay. I mean, since this was a 1991 movie, just a heads up for the, you know, next sessions or next things that we'll be talking about, we will not be having a spoiler section. This is your warning right now. Yeah, because it's, I mean, if you haven't watched it now, it's quite old, over 20 years. So
yeah,
that's on you, buddy.
All right. So I believe we can go ahead and step into the boxing ring.
I believe I went last time. Okay. Yes. So now you go
last.
Say what?
Wait, you said you went last time?
No, I went first last time. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
So I was like thinking like I go last this time.
Okay. Yeah,
you go.
I'll say after Captain Hook kidnaps his children, Peter Pan, who is now an adult and works as a lawyer and has forgot all of his memories, must return to Neverland to save his children.
Okay. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. A 40-year-old lawyer a 40-year-old lawyer has his kids taken away from him in his childhood home, to where he has to revisit his magical past and once again fight Captain Hook in Neverland, where he will need to regain his imagination.
I like that.
Oh, that felt so good. Ah, that felt good coming out. I didn't give away too much. Not enough.
Sounded good. Okay. The letterboxed summary says, "The boy who wasn't supposed to grow up, Peter Pan, does just that, becoming a soulless corporate lawyer whose workaholism could cost him his wife and kids. During his trip to see Granny Wendy in London, the vengeful Captain Hook kidnaps Peter's kids and forces Peter to return to Neverland."
Okay. Interesting.
Indeed. Indeed.
What are you thinking?
I mean, we both said the same proper nouns. So,
yeah.
The only one both of us missed is neither of us mentioned Wendy.
True.
True.
I didn't know she was that big of a part of it, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you mention Neverland?
Yeah.
Wait, can you read it again?
"The boy who wasn't supposed to grow up, Peter Pan, does just that."
Did you ever mention him having lost his, like, kind of what they just said there, like he grew up kind of thing?
Yeah, I said he's now an adult and has no memory of his childhood.
Mm.
Or something.
But did you
like
mention that?
That
he, I guess they never said that either. Okay, yeah, keep going.
Becoming a soulless corporate lawyer, we both mentioned lawyer, whose workaholism could cost him his wife and kids. During his trip to see Granny Wendy in London, the vengeful Captain Hook kidnaps Peter's kids and forces Peter to return to Neverland.
Oh, well, I don't know. I think that's pretty even, I guess. Yeah.
You want to try a tiebreaker then?
Okay, sure. I'm 0 for 5 of these. Okay.
I don't know. What's a good one?
I don't know, man. Every time I pick, I lose.
I can pick if you want.
Sure. Sure. You go for it.
Okay. How much do you think Robin Williams made for this movie?
Oh, okay.
And keep in mind the overall budget was
$90 million.
$70 million.
$70 million. Okay.
So how much do you think Robin Williams made?
I think he made potentially $900,000.
Okay. I think Robin Williams made $4 billion.
$4 million?
Yep. How much?
I don't think this is gonna work.
Make for Hook.
They did not take salaries for the film. Their deal called for them to split 40% of TriStar Pictures' gross revenues.
Where are you seeing that?
I don't know. I just kind of Googled it. There's one of those people also ask things.
Oh, I see. I see. Yeah. I'm not finding anything.
Yeah. All right. Another one. How old was that old lady actress in this movie?
The old lady actress.
Yeah. What's her name?
You mean Maggie Smith?
Maggie Smith. Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm going to say 45.
I'm going to say 53. 56.
Yeah.
Hey, I win.
Good job.
Let's go. Was aged by makeup to play 92-year-old Granny Wendy. Oh, wow, she's supposed to be 92.
Yeah.
Holy crap. All right, cool. Nice. All right, well, I think it's time to begin our analysis of the movie. Let's chat about it.
All right, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back.
Yep.
Well, what a quick break.
And we're back.
All right, let's get into it. What did you think?
I think there was just... So the big overarching negative for me of this movie, I'll start with that just because to get it out of the way.
Okay.
Is I think there was like the lack of magic in the whole movie. Like even when Peter Pan finally realized that like, oh, imagination is, you know, coming back and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like there wasn't enough put into... that magical aspect of who Peter Pan is.
Not enough magical aspect.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I didn't see a difference from his like young Peter Pan self and his old Peter Pan self, even after having gained a lot more, you know, knowledge and retrospect of life. And I feel like this was like almost like a replay of him as a kid. But I feel like there was more of a spark maybe in the other movies or when he was younger. Like with this one, he finally gained, you know, his confidence back, his, you know, I guess interest in life. But okay. I wanted there to be more of the magical aspect of it, like just more something. I don't know what it would be.
Yeah.
Not just from him, but also from like the other kids.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's been a long time since I've seen any other Peter Pan movies, so I don't really have anything to compare it to.
Yeah. I don't know. There's just some things like in, like my mind, when I think of like Peter Pan, like I almost think Jungle Book kind of life. Okay. I think of these kids are in like on an island that's like, you know, Neverland, like covered in green and trees and all these like naturous kind of things. And these boys are like living in a tree house up there and like living their life being crazy. And then there's like this evil pirate on the ships and the seas and going around. But like this movie, it kind of felt like to me there was just so much city life aspect put into it and not as much green.
So you wanted to see more of Neverland.
Yeah.
Because I guess they're like,
was really small.
Like their treehouse fortress thing was not very jungly. It was more like a big playground.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And like Hook is still there because he still has like childlike imagination, right? Is that why he's still in Neverland?
I think he just lives there.
Oh, he just resides there. Okay.
I don't think it requires imagination to go to Neverland. I think Neverland is just a strange place that's difficult to get to.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess they never really explain how anyone got there.
That's fair.
Like, yeah.
I guess the kids can't, like, they literally can't grow up, right?
Yeah.
Being there. Interesting.
I think that's the one like overarching, like obviously there's like fairies and stuff there, which are also magical and like can make people fly and things like that. But I think the just the atmosphere of Neverland like also has the magical ability that people don't age when they're there.
Yeah. 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 And my thing is, I guess they kind of tie in together the magical aspect of it as well as just the landscaping. It looked too urban. Just,
you mean like in the areas where Captain Hook was?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think that was kind of the point, is that he like after Peter Pan left, Captain Hook kind of like set up shop and sort of like built out a whole city. Because obviously like Captain Hook isn't trying to live in the jungle. So
Right. But I mean like even when they're like sleeping on their beds and they look out, all they see is like the cove and tons of people. I just didn't see that, like you said earlier, I just didn't see enough greenery, like green aspects of like, you know, maybe fighting in the jungle where they're stronger. Cause like all the fight scenes, the like really bad swordsmanship fight scene, that one was just not good for me. But like all of them, I feel like they were all on the boats, no?
I mean, yeah, cause the pirates never got up to the Lost Boys hideout.
Right. And which they did last time, because apparently they burned it down at one point. I feel like they should have brought it back home, and that, I don't know. that's just those are just my little negatives. I did think that they did some really neat things with how they tried to reawaken Peter Pan. I think the boys really put a lot of effort in that. I think that one scene with the food was very special. I liked that a lot.
Well, and that's another thing. Sorry, I just got something you said earlier reminded me of, because you had talked about like how Captain Hook is in Neverland, and although they like, obviously with when you're flying, there's the whole thing where it's like second star to the right and straight on till morning kind of a thing. But obviously Captain Hook and his crew can't fly. But then at the same time, they somehow got to London, stole the children, and then went back to Neverland. So they must know some other way to get there.
Mm, yeah.
So that is interesting.
Yeah, I don't know how all that works, honestly. It's out of my, I don't know. I actually think I may have seen like those earlier Peter Pans in German. Pretty sure.
Interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, that's an interesting point there. So there's maybe multiple ways to get there.
Also just off of that scene, one thing that I thought was kind of weird is, so right before the kids get stolen, when everyone's like tucking them into bed and they're about to go to that gala thing for Grandma Wendy, I don't remember his children's name, Jack and something. What's the little girl's name? I don't know. But right before they tuck them in, the little girl says something like, "There was a scary man at the window." And then her mom's just like, "No, it's okay," and tucks her in. And I'm like, I feel like if my kid said that, I would definitely want to check on it.
What do you mean?
What do I mean?
Like, if your kid said that, you'd want to check on it?
Yeah.
Versus
just ignoring them.
Ignoring them? I mean, who knows, man? The kids have some crazy imagination. How many times, like, they say something like that, you know?
I don't know. If my kid says there's a scary man at the window, I'm going to at least go look at the window.
At least look. Yeah, true. True. Yeah, that is a problem, honestly. And maybe that ties into, again, like, they just got so wrapped up in, you know, the finance world, the lawyer world, the no fun world.
Where I will all that say.
Didn't matter.
This isn't really necessarily like a bad thing or a good thing, but just something weird that I noticed, because they have early on in the movie when they're like showing him at work, they do that like silly thing that I feel like they used to do a lot, but not so much anymore, where like in order to show that someone is super busy, they have like a group of like 10 people following them through the hallways of their office.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I was watching that and I was noticing like there was a bunch of people following him, but then only like two people were actually talking to him. Everyone else was just like standing in the background.
They just wanted to be around him, man.
And I'm just like, why is that a thing that we used to do in movies?
That's true. They did that in a lot, even like sitcoms. That'd be like a thing.
Yeah.
So like, why do you think they even put that portion into the movie? Do you not think that, you know, him coming home and missing the baseball game and him on the phone the whole time would be enough to bring across the audience? Like, hey, I am a workaholic. That's all I do.
Well, no, because I think if he just showed up late to the baseball game, then it I feel like it creates a different atmosphere where you would feel like he really just doesn't care. And I think showing him at the office, like trying to run out the door, and he's like, "Hey, I need to go to this baseball game, but I've got a lot of stuff to do," and he's like working while leaving, shows that like it's not necessarily that he doesn't care. He just doesn't make his kids a priority. I feel like it comes off slightly different if we didn't see that.
Right. No, that makes sense.
I did think it was silly, though. He's obviously a professional businessman, and he somehow shows up to the baseball field after everyone else has left. And I'm like, bro, ain't you got a watch or something? Like, I feel like by the time you get off the plane, you would have realized that you've missed it. Like, at a certain point, you're just like, well, there's no point in me going anymore because it's over.
Yeah, or to call your wife or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I was maybe just thinking that portion of the movie lasted a little bit too long, to whereas they could have done more in Neverland, or at least like the aspect of getting to Neverland.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I think it took enough time to sort of make it clear how much of a boring adult he is now. And I also, I thought it was funny because he mentions also that he's afraid of heights, and he like is stressed out on the plane the whole time and all that. And I just think it's really clever to make Peter Pan, who can fly, a person who's afraid of heights.
Yeah, true.
But then at the same time, I will say, so they do a lot of work making him look bad, but there were a couple things where I feel like it didn't really pan out as much. The first one was one of the scenes on the plane where he is like acting like a dick to his kid and stuff. But at the same time, the kid was also being a dick. Like, I don't know. I feel like, because he's like sitting there like bouncing his baseball off the ceiling. And yeah,
it's like, being way too obnoxious.
It's like, you're not going to break the plane, yeah. But also, for everyone else on that flight, no one wants to hear thunk, thunk, thunk.
Right.
I'm like, kid, you're being annoying. You need to stop that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the dad was out of his element there to tell the kid to stop that. I think that was right on.
And then the other one was when he's on the phone call and the kids are bothering him. And I will say there was a point where, you can hear in the background, his wife says, it's a mobile phone, like trying to be like, you can leave.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like she could have done better. Like, I don't know. I feel like if we had kids and Elena was like on an important call or something, I wouldn't just sit there and watch our kids like run around and be loud. I'd be like, no, you need to go play in the other room for like 5 minutes. It's going to be okay.
Right. Like, shuffle them out of the room.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'm right there with you. I mean, there were a few of those instances, or like that, like when the wife threw the phone out of the window.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And he felt like his life was gone.
I thought it was funny that the guy stayed on the line for so long. It shows the phone like land in the snow and the guy's just like, hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah. I mean, he's that important, man. You're not going to think that someone's going to hang up on you like that.
Also, would just like to say, speaking of Maggie Smith, she did an amazing job in this movie, but she's always amazing. So,
which one was she?
Wendy.
Oh, Wendy. Why don't you just call her Wendy, not Maggie Smith?
I figured you knew since you made a whole deal about her age earlier.
I mean, what do you think she did that amazingly in this movie?
Writing wise, she didn't have a lot to do, but just like as a sweet old woman character, I think she did a good job. And the scene where she's trying to like explain to Peter, like, hey, the stories about us are true. And I don't know, there's this weird sort of like moment where you can see that she obviously cares about him like as a grandmother, but then at the same time, there's that like longing because obviously when she was younger and they were the same age,
she wants that duck.
She was like wanted to be with him in a different way, and their relationship changed as she got older. And I feel like that's obviously not a relationship that most people have to go through because everyone ages at the same rate in the real world.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like for playing someone that has all of a sudden got a lot older than the person they're attracted to, she conveyed that emotion very well.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. Like, it wasn't like in a creepy way, but at one point I forgot because I don't think I knew exactly what was going on, like as to who she was to him at one point. I literally just thought, you know, the plane thing, not that they were, but I forgot exactly what it was. But yeah, it did make me feel a little bit uncomfy. But like you said, she played it off really well and hit that balance of, you know, past lover, now grandmother kind of thing.
And also in the flashbacks later, this was another one, what I was saying earlier about there's like a weird amount of famous people in here is in the flashbacks. Young Wendy is played by Gwyneth Paltrow, who is also a celebrity.
Yeah. I guess I don't really recognize them while the movie's going on. I feel like you're always ahead of the game there.
After the kids get kidnapped and they call the police, the inspector was played by Phil Collins. He's a musical artist. He did all of the music for Tarzan.
Oh, yeah. See, like, I would never have known that. I just looked him up. I'm like, oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
He was also in a band called Oasis, but he's done a lot of solo work.
Oh, wow. I play at Oasis all the time. It's a volleyball place here.
I also must say, I think I've lost my marbles is a perfect joke, and I love it.
I agree. I think that was very cute. And at the end, he was like, I got my marbles. I knew I didn't lose them. That was like a whole like beginning, middle, and end joke.
Yeah.
It was great. The kid was like, oh, this is his marbles. Here they are. Wait, so what exactly happened for the marbles guy to be out of Neverland as well?
Probably the same thing that happened to Peter. They just went one day and didn't go back.
Huh. So everyone has that freedom of choice whether they want to stay or not?
I guess. I'd imagine it. I don't know, because I don't know how, the same thing as Captain Hook. I don't know how you leave or enter Neverland aside from flying. And I know not all of the Lost Boys can fly.
Yeah. I mean, do they have to have like a fairy dust kind of thing? And at that point, ask for permission.
I don't know.
What did you think about the fights that we saw in the movie between Peter Pan and Hook?
I mean, they weren't bad. They weren't like super spectacular, but it felt exciting enough.
Yeah, I think, like, especially the sword fight sequence between the two, I felt like it was, one, way too long, and it, like, I was never convinced that either of them have ever held like a sword. Like, the skill level from both of the actors there while they were fighting just felt like two kids picking up a sword, knowing they can't hit each other, and only doing like body shots or sword shots.
Yeah.
I feel like any Asian martial arts movie I've ever seen, no matter the budget, has always had like a hands down amazing, you know, sword fight scene. I felt like here it was a little clunky for me.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Hollywood films kind of took a bit longer to catch up in terms of fight scenes.
Oh, okay. I mean, I did like the choreography that they did with the kids, and how they would take down, you know, the pirates, and how they would swing over onto the ships and stuff like that. I did think that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then they had like the bow and arrows with like the exploding colored tips.
Yeah.
That was like a fun taste to it. Like that is cute. That was good. But I felt like the two adults going at each other was a little bit too on the lean side.
Okay.
Of what a good fight should look like, especially if it's Peter Pan, because like even in the comics or all of that stuff, he always seems to have like this knack and light footedness around himself. And when he touches a sword, because they made such a big deal of him getting that sword back, right? And then he gets it and it's like, well, okay.
Yeah, I guess. I think maybe I just wasn't focused on the sword, the actual choreography of the sword fights as much, because it felt more of a like a story moment. Like, it's not, I don't know. It could have been better. I agree with you. I think it just wasn't a focus for me.
I got you. Yeah.
There was also Bob Hoskins played Smee, who is the right hand man of Captain Hook.
Yeah.
I thought all of the interactions between both of them were fun.
Yeah,
I
agree.
Notice at one point they mentioned the Tiger Lily incident, which is one thing that it would have been fun to see, but also completely understand why they didn't, and I'm kind of glad that they didn't, because I'm not sure how it would have gone. But in the original Peter Pan story, there is a whole section with, because there's Indians on Neverland as well, and Tiger Lily is the Indian princess, and there's a whole thing with her, and they reference it in this movie, but they never show any of them, and I think that's probably for the best.
Okay.
I just think 1991 film portrayal of Native Americans maybe wouldn't be the most culturally sensitive.
Yeah, probably not the best. Yeah, I do honestly like, though, the filming aspect that they had going. Like, I don't think they were going for it, but I just like that old school, like the colors of the old school filming.
Yeah,
the 90s films just have like this color and this like interest in lighting that I feel like a lot of the movies nowadays don't have, because you can just do everything electronically almost. But I don't know, I think the costumes were well made when they were filming everything with the costumes. The lighting was just perfect on their faces. I mean, the attention to detail when it comes to the characters, and
there were a lot of like small things.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Like, and also, sequence when they were getting ready to fight, and I think like they had one of the armor suits hung up in a spider web and the kid just like ran through it and it was attached to him. I think that was really funny and cool.
Also just like that the I feel like all of the Lost Boys felt like they each had their own like personality. Like it wasn't just like a group of children. It was like each individual child had a unique character.
I agree. Yeah. I am surprised though that they had like one of the Lost Boys got killed.
Yes. In one of the fighting. Rufio. What did you think about Rufio? He was took over as the leader of the Lost Boys after Peter Pan left, is what is implied.
Yeah. And I don't know if he just didn't come across as like that positive vibe or like the cheerfulness or like the creative mindset that I would think the Lost Boys leader would need to be.
Yeah, I think
kind of over as like stone cold.
Kind of the point of it? It's hard to say, but it felt like he didn't necessarily become leader because he was like the most fun, magical person, but because he is the oldest and therefore the most responsible.
Mm.
Because it seemed like everyone else was kind of like kid, and Rufio felt like maybe like in like early teens, which explains why his whole vibe is kind of like, I'm so badass, look at me kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like a macho man.
Yeah. And so I think just the fact that he's older and stronger than all of the other children naturally puts him in a leadership position.
I got you.
Another thing that I noticed this time around was, so after the first time that Peter confronts Hook and his children are up in the little net, and he's like, oh, just fly up and save them and you can leave, blah, blah, blah. Sorry, I'm getting distracted by my own thoughts here, but we'll take them one at a time. So the first thing is when he's up on the thing and like trying to reach out to them, and then the little girl, like, I get they're both sad and disappointed and stuff, but the little girl at one point says, mommy could do it. And I'm like, hold up a second. That's like the most savage thing to say. It's like, you suck. You can't save us from these pirates. I bet mom could do it.
Honestly, true. Oh my God, that was so salty.
And then after he falls off the ship, there's a scene where like some mermaids come up and like blow air into his mouth to help him swim back to the surface.
Yeah,
and I didn't remember, like, from my memory of seeing it when I was younger, I didn't remember that being an air thing. I thought he just got kissed by three mermaids and then decided to leave.
Oh my God, no way. It was a little, yeah, it was a little on the nose for a kid's movie, maybe. Like, they could have brought down, like, maybe, like, some seashells that had air in it and they gave it to him to drink or something
And also, because he also kisses Tinkerbell later, and I'm like, bro, you're married. Too. Like, why?
Oh my God, true. I forgot about that.
And first of all, kisses four different women in this movie. Second of all, why is everyone in Neverland trying to get on his dick? Like, what's that about?
He's Peter Pan. He's like a celebrity. Guess. He's a celebrity. Of course that they're going to want. I forgot that Tinkerbell. Okay, that's a little cringe, right? That Tinkerbell wanted to kiss him.
That was a little strange.
Like, what was her reasoning for that? Because she brought him there when he was a kid. And now he's an adult. And
I don't know.
That's a little.
It also is weird because if she has been in Neverland the whole time, that means that she also hasn't aged. Unless the not aging thing doesn't affect magical creatures. I don't know. But Tinkerbell is very clearly an adult fairy. So yeah,
for sure.
It's weird that she would have ever had feelings for a younger Peter Pan.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, they kissed though, weird. So.
Yeah. I mean, he was an adult at that point. And
why did she go
though.
Full size? Why did she go full size?
I didn't understand that at all. Because she, right after that, she immediately turned back into a normal fairy size.
Yeah, she like got big in hopes to have, you know, a good time with Peter, kiss him, and then shrunk back to OG size. Like, what?
Yeah.
Oh God.
I will say that. For being such not such an old movie, it's not that old, but for being 30 plus years ago, they did a fairly decent job of the, like, the special effects of having her be small.
Yeah.
Like there's a scene where, like, she's, like, walking around in the palm of Peter's hand, and it, like, it's not flawless, but it's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. Like I said, like, man, some of these, like, even the first Harry Potter, I think these older movies where they had to incorporate some type of, because for them it was cutting edge technology to get that to work, they put so much more effort into it. It just works. I don't know.
Also, this reminded me that, because this movie is rated PG, and PG movies used to be way darker than they are now. Like, whenever I watch an old PG movie compared to, like, what passes for PG now, like, there's a scene in this movie where Captain Hook tries to commit suicide.
Yeah, with the gun.
They would never put that in a PG movie now. That would be at least PG-13.
Yeah. I mean, because, like, I think back then it was, like, all fun and games, but now with everyone having that media outreach, I feel like more kids nowadays have, I don't know, that's a good point. I feel like PG now should be even more harsh just because you're exposed to so many more things than you were back then.
I don't know, man.
I honestly never understood, like, the rating system here for any movies. Like, it never made sense to me. I never understood why a movie was PG-13 or R or anything like that. I thought R meant that people were going to have sex in it and there were going to be boobs. Like, that was my child thought of what an R movie was. I just don't, I don't know.
Nudity will get you an R rating. Okay. I think, because, I mean, depending on how you film it, there can be sex scenes in any kind of movie. But I don't think, even with an R movie, I don't think you can show, like, explicit, like, penetration or anything like that.
Yeah. I mean, that goes a little deeper into X rating, I think.
Yeah. I know there's like a list of guidelines that you can look up as to, like, what things are more likely to get an R versus a PG-13 or a PG, but ultimately it's not like a set in stone kind of a thing. It's like you submit your film to the rating committee and then they review it and decide what it gets rated.
Okay.
And they can be like, hey, if you want this rating, you need to get rid of this and this. Yeah. So, like, if you're going for PG-13 and then they're like, you said fuck too many times, so if you want your PG-13, you need to get rid of some of those fucks.
I mean, is that really what constitutes it? Like a number of curse words?
The official, it's not even just curse words in general, but specifically the guideline, which, as I said, there are movies that don't follow these rules because ultimately it's up to the committee to decide what rating a movie gets. But the guidelines that they have listed on their website is, in a PG-13 movie, you can say one fuck and it has to be, like, it can't be related to sex.
Oh, right. You said that last time in the last movie that we did.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I mean, there were no curse words in this movie, though.
So you could say, like, I fucking hate that person, but you can't say I'm going to fuck that person.
Gotcha. Okay. I mean, I don't think this movie had any curse words. It just had that one scene with the gun to the head.
Yeah, I don't remember any cursing. There might have been, like, a shit or something at some point.
Could be. Not that I remember. Yeah. I mean, this movie also wasn't too bloody. I mean, I think Captain Hook was a little banged up at one point.
There's also a scene where Hook is, he's smoking, but he has a cigar holder that holds two cigars at once.
Yeah, yeah. You know, sometimes you go through one, you gotta have another.
But he's, like, smoking them both at the same time.
Yeah.
He
would do that with cigarettes. So
yeah, I feel like, I know that, like, tobacco use is also something that gets considered for ratings, at least now. I don't know how it would have affected it back then, but.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. Like, they had so many deadly weapons in this movie, too. Like, they had the swords, they had crossbows, they had guns, which is funny that Hook had a gun, but all they were using were, you know, medieval type weaponry.
He shot versus, a couple, like, people.
Oh, he did?
I think it's also just because it's, like, a old-timey gun, so it's not like he can just go blam, 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 and be like, he shoots, and then he has to, like, take the time to
reload for 5 minutes.
Yeah. One thing that really stuck out and I really did not like is there's a scene where the little girl that I still can't remember the name of, like, starts singing, and it's like really bad singing.
Oh yeah, true.
I mean, it wasn't like awful hurt my ears, but it was just like, it was just cheesy and very like little girl singing. I'm not sure why that was in there.
I don't know, but I think the first Peter Pan had a lot of singing in it too, right? Like way more.
You mean the first Peter Pan, like the Disney movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a Disney movie. So.
Well, yeah, but I feel like if you're going to be shooting a movie like this, like, I mean, people are going to be singing. It's supposed to be a kid movie.
I mean, yeah, but they didn't have any other singing, and there are plenty of kids movies that don't have singing. You don't have to have it in there.
That's fair.
It also was kind of depressing when you realize that the Lost Boys just don't eat and they essentially survive completely off of imagination.
Yeah. Was it like that always?
I don't know.
I don't know how they want to swing that. I guess the little girls, like Peter Pan's kids were also eating.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there must be food on Neverland, like fruit and stuff like that. Cause I know like the pirates aren't eating fake food. They have real food somehow. I think it's either just that the Lost Boys aren't able to get to the food because maybe the pirates are like hoarding it all, or it's like too dangerous on the island. And so they can't like go foraging because there's like creatures and beasts and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. They don't really explain it a whole lot, but it is a little sad that they just eat imaginary food.
Yeah. But when it is there, bro, when you finally start imagining it, it is nice. And they have everything.
True. Yeah.
So that made me feel good.
It's also two things. Is weird that, I mean, I guess this was always the case, but it's strange to me that all of the Lost Boys are actually just lost children.
Oh, true. They did say that, right?
Like there's a, cause what is it? At some point there was, oh yeah, it's when Peter gets his memories back and he remembers he's like in a carriage with his parents in the park, and then the carriage like rolls down a hill and he falls out or something. And then he's just like laying in the middle of a park and Tinkerbell picks him up and carries him away. And I was like, wait, that wasn't that far away. His parents could have found him.
That's true. And that poor parent, dude, all of a sudden, like, your kid's gone.
Like, yeah, you, like, find your empty stroller and you're like, holy shit, my kid's gone. Like, someone stole my child.
Yeah, I think they could have done, like, a different scenario for that because no parent is perfect, right? Like, if Tinkerbell was going to be a good Tinkerbell, she could have just flown the baby right back to the mother.
And then you're just like thinking about those kind of situations happening with these like 30 children that are there.
Yeah.
And then also it seems that apparently like this is the other confusing thing, is because Tinkerbell picks him up when he's like a baby, but then like obviously he didn't stay a baby forever. So does that mean that like the kids in Neverland do age, but only up to a certain point? Like they can age enough to not be a baby anymore, but then they stop aging?
Oh, true. I didn't think about that. I mean, is it maybe, yeah, I don't know. Huh. Good point. Yeah, because I didn't see any babies laying around there. Like, I'm sure there's going to be a new, or you're a baby and when you get taken into Neverland, you actually automatically age to a specific age, so you're not a baby anymore.
That feels even wilder.
Yeah, but I mean, they can't have like babies laying around everywhere, right?
I don't know. Maybe the Lost Boys are really good at taking care of babies.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why don't they have like a nursery there to
or
show?
Or maybe
like,
the,
oh,
maybe
like,
the
new
fairies take care of babies until they become old enough, and then they join the Lost Boys. Maybe there's like a secret fairy nursery somewhere.
Yeah, but they need to show that because I'm sure there's more like infant or like babies out there without parents, you know?
Or maybe they just stopped taking children. Maybe it was like, yeah, we used to do that, and now we have all these Lost Boys, but we don't do that anymore.
Yeah, that's so, I don't know. That's a little weird. I feel like there should have been some type of cycle, right? Like, you get to, I don't know, like, you age really slowly.
Oh,
but
also,
the fact that, like, all the Lost Boys were the same Lost Boys was a little weird.
Maggie is the little girl. That's her name.
Maggie. Okay, okay.
Yeah, and other than that weird singing thing, I feel like nothing really happens with her. Like, a lot of the like children part of the movie is just focused on Jack. because they have like that first lesson where Hook is like, your parents don't love you, blah, blah, blah. And then Maggie's like, no, my mommy reads a story to me every single night. And then he like kicks her out of the room and then just doesn't do anything with her for the rest of the movie. And he's like, all right, I'm just going to focus all my attention on the Jack. Boy. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Jack may have been an easier target just because he was, you know, still upset about his dad missing the baseball game. So.
Yeah. I do like that the happy thought for Peter ends up being his being a father. But at the same time, it's a little confusing because there's like this weird scene when he's talking to Tinkerbell and he almost like forgets that he has children because she has to remind him that that's why he's here. Like, hey, you need to go save your kids. And he's like, oh, shit, I have kids. But I'm like, what? I guess maybe he hadn't, because it's not like you have to keep the same happy thought. So maybe his first happy thought was being a kid. But then after he got caught up in the adventure, he had a bunch of other happy thoughts and just forgot about it. I don't know. It was a little maybe, weird. Maybe. But
yeah. I'm there with you. I'm there with you.
What did you think about the crocodile?
Oh, my God. That was, I don't know. I think maybe as a kid, that would have been like more scary or something. But the fact that the crocodile looked so plastic and they had him strung up vertically with like, you know, the iron shackles around his chest.
Mm.
And then like he falls and then he burps. And then I don't know, man, I think they could have gotten away with doing like another big creature that takes out Hook. What do you think about the crocodile?
I think it had to be the crocodile because that's
what, really?
That's the like OG monster.
Well, shit, why the crocodile was dead? They weren't feeding it for years.
Yeah, but it's a magical world.
Yeah, but also the crocodile looked just so plastic and dead.
Because it was supposed to be dead.
I don't know. I mean, I think the teeth looked great on it. The teeth were scary. I think the touch that they did with like it holding the clock, because that was its thing, was a good touch. But I feel like if they were going to do that, they should have made it actually come alive a little bit more and just eat him that way versus just falling on him and calling.
I think it was a little strange that there was not like it never even closed its mouth. Like it just like fell on him and then he was gone. But also like chomping down on a person isn't the most kid friendly image.
Well, you don't have to chomp on him. Like they still could make him disappear, but at least let the alligator like close its mouth a few times and lick its teeth or something like that. You know, like, I don't know, something to give away that, that like there's some type of mechanical thing that happened versus it falling on him, mouth open, burping, and then calling it a day.
For sure, for sure.
Especially with a $70 million budget, like
it's not that big.
I mean, for back in the day, I feel like that's 32 years ago.
And that's a lot of money. All of the insanely expensive actors in this movie.
I mean,
I will say there's a weird scene at the end where they almost like make it seem like maybe he was just dreaming the whole thing, because he like wakes up next to a fountain that has a statue of Peter Pan, and then he like thinks that he sees Tinkerbell, but then it's just like the sun rising over the edge of the park, and it's very strange. And then there's like the like park janitor shows up, and it's Smee. And that whole scene didn't make any sense to me, because I'm like, what is the purpose of this? Because I don't think is the idea that Smee like secretly went back to London just to pretend to sweep a park, because that doesn't make any sense. Or is it like he is just seeing someone that happens to look very similar, or I don't know. It's weird. And I don't know why they had that scene to like make it seem like, oh, maybe it was all fake kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Because then it's clearly not, because the kids remember it too.
Right.
I don't know. That was a weird scene. I didn't like it.
Yeah, there were a few of those here and there, but what can you do?
So I think my two least favorite scenes is maybe it's a dream and weird singing moment with Maggie.
Mine were probably the sword fighting scene and the introduction to Neverland.
What do you mean? Like you didn't like him flying in over the clouds?
No, like.
Or no, I guess you mean like the first, not like, yeah, never. Because that wasn't the introduction. That was just like the first time we see the entire island.
Right.
But yeah, I guess the introduction is him, like, he wakes up in a box or something, and then he's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
That scene I thought was, it was funny in a very, Robin Williams-y way. Like, I like that he had to, like, dress up like a pirate and, like, fake his way to escape the city. And there's that scene where he, like, walks past him and he goes, "Arr," and then the other pirate goes, "Are you?" And he's like, "I'm good."
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of, like, little giggle points in the movie, for sure. I mean, I enjoyed it, like I said. I'd probably watch it again, and I'd probably show my kid at one point in life when I have a kid. Yeah, I think it's just a good kid movie.
Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much, that's all I've got.
Yeah, no, me too.
All right, then let's move on to trivia. There is not a whole lot of it, but I managed to pull one pretty interesting fact out. According to an interview with People magazine, Rashawn Hammond, who played Thudbutt, reveals that the scene where Peter passes his sword to one of the Lost Boys was improvised, and none of the cast knew to whom he would pass the sword, except for Robin Williams and Steven Spielberg, so the reactions from the boys are genuine.
Oh, wow. That's cool. They all wanted to have the sword at one point and then just didn't get it.
Yeah.
I would have been sad. I would have been salty, man.
Well, they handled it nicely. I think it was it was a cute moment, and they were all cheering for their friend and like, yeah, you deserve this. Good job. Yep,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's the only piece of trivia. So I guess we will get wrecked.
Let's do it.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah. I have a get wrecked because it's summertime, and me being kind of a pale person, I know what it's like to burn. And this is an aloe vera soothing mist. I think you can get it on Amazon or whatever like that. But it's literally aloe vera soothing mist. And it's aloe vera in a bottle, and you spray it, and it smells unbelievably good. And it feels amazing when I'm on, you know, when I'm burned and all that stuff.
I am going to say, I don't know if I've recommended this before, but I just recently finished watching season 3 of The Great on Hulu.
Oh, okay.
And it is a phenomenal show. It explores the I guess beginning of the reign of Catherine the Great of Russia. It's not like a documentary. It's like a comedy / drama, and it's a very fictionalized history. But it's like they have real events in the show, but then what the specifics of the events are not always exactly how they happened. But it's really funny, and there's some very like very genuine, like, heartfelt moments as well. And yeah, it's just all around really good show, and would highly recommend.
All right, good to note.
Indeed. So for our listeners, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review. Tell your friends and family about us. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CashVanPod. If you want to send us a message, you can do so on either of those platforms, or you can send an email to casualfanaticpodcast@gmail.com. Links for all of that will be in the description. Luca, can you tell them what kind of message they can send us?
Yeah, you can send us anything from improvements that you can see us making to the podcast, or things that you like that we're doing in the podcast. You can send recs of things you would like to hear in the podcast, like the one we just did.
Yep. Hook. Thanks again to Nicole.
Absolutely. And again, happy belated birthday to you. Yeah, just let everyone know about it and listen, give us your support, your feedback, and we're going to be here making more episodes.
All right. This has been Casual Fanatic. Thanks for listening.